AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt and Patrick. Hi, Patrick. How are you today, my friend?
Doing really well.
How has been your week? It's been a week since I saw you last. Anything exciting?
Nope, just chilling at home.
Well, there's a lot of that. That's kind of the way things are going. No walk today. I did not do a hike. Yesterday, and by the way, I did not mention this. There's the General Mills Research Park Reserve. It's tucked away. You got to go up Winnetka to Duluth, and then it's residential streets, so you want to be kind. You know, there's no, like, official parking lot here, but it's a cute little, nature area. I posted some pictures yesterday about that. I got this map of all the parks in the basically running all the way from Ham Lake all the way down to almost to Owatonna, and from the Wisconsin border all the way past Waconia. And we started putting dots on of all the parks we've been to. I've had 36 so far that we've done just since this. Because once again, if you don't know the theory, you know, granted, yes, we got a stay-at-home order, but we can go out and exercise. And we checked. There was this, you know, we talked about it. There was this question on whether or not could you just go into your garage, get in your car, drive to a nature area, hike around, get back in your car, go back home. Is that violating any of the stay-at-home orders? And no, it was not. Hence, we headed on out. And so far, it's just been a delight. We've done a lot of different parks, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's. I think one of the things that sometimes gets lost is that we have set aside in Minnesota a ton of these things. And I'm not just talking about the neighborhood park, because all of us have those. I mean, that's kind of a basic of the city. Although you'd be surprised, you go to the South, and you know, yeah, they don't want any money at all for that stuff, because they, you know, I don't know, 100 plus years of systemic racism in politics. Guess what? They don't want anyone else to get the park money, so they don't generally have parks. If you go into the wealthy wood areas, they generally will have kind of these designed areas, but, you know, you'd better live here. You cannot enjoy nature unless you live in the vicinity of this park. We don't have that here nearly as bad as it is in other places. And, you know, outside of the occasional, "Hey, your dog's not allowed," I ran into in Richfield. We have a lot of parks where it's a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. I mean, I've hiked the four major lakes in Minneapolis, Nokomis, and of course Bede-Mikaska and Harriet and Lake of the Isles. I've hiked all of them. You know, it was up on Indian Mounds, which, by the way, and that's a challenge. Did Afton State Park? We're planning on probably going William O'Brien State Park coming up here in a few weeks. There's just so many parks around us where you can go on out, and the next thing you know, it's like, oh, well, we've gone about a mile, mile and a half. I got one of these measuring apps that tells you how far you've gone, and that it's just a really great way to get in shape. And as well, there's a lot of great areas out there, and some of it has been more urban. I mean, the Heritage Trail downtown Minneapolis, Stone Arch Bridge down the river, riverfront to the Hennepin Avenue Bridge, back over to Nicollet Island, then to St. Anthony, and then down back to the Stone Arch Bridge. That's about 2 miles, and it's right in the heart of the city. The Midtown Greenway did that. We did that one day. But as well, we've been out in some of the more pristine nature areas where you wouldn't even know that you were near a major metropolitan area, let alone, in some cases, very close to it. I mean, there are parks of Theo Worth where you go and you're like, I am that close to the city? It doesn't even seem possible. But there you are. I highly encourage you to do that. I, by the way, also want to encourage everyone to head on over and become a member. We here at AM 950, this has been hard on everyone. And, there's a concern whether or not we'll be able to make sure that Progressive Radio stays on the air in Minnesota and for some people worldwide, as you listen to the station. And, you know, that it's a little bit of a concern for us. So we asked about memberships. You guys responded, and you guys have responded amazing. And I do want to say amazing. Let's go. Let's like Michael in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Nice job. Karen in Isanti. Paula in Crystal. We also have Carol in Victoria. Adam in St. Paul. Douglas in St. Paul. And Lee and Andy from Minnetonka. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. These are some of the people that have stepped up and helped make sure AM 950 will stay on the air through the campaign season. We do appreciate it. I thank you. I personally thank you. Thank you very much. That's very nice of you. If you want to become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And you can click on the membership button there and find out how to become one. We do have special interviews that are for members only. And today, I believe, we're updating the interviews, including what could be my favorite interview of all time, the Robbie Massey interview. Now, I don't know if you remember this. This is 2015 we did this interview. Robbie Massey, the first time I had him on the air, I think it was, 2011, back in the old 6 o'clock hour show in the evenings. And Robbie went up and climbed Denali and then skied down Denali. And that was a really neat trick. Well, he'd been working his way up to Everest. And he went out to Mount Everest and was climbing the mountain. He was not at base camp. He was up on the mountain when that earthquake hit Nepal and killed a whole bunch of people on Everest and killed, thousands and thousands of people in Nepal. And his story is remarkable, jaw-dropping at times. And it was something that I really – that interview has stayed with me for the years. I do a reintroduction of that interview, and you can hear the interview from 2015 with Robbie Massey. That's on the membership page, but that's for members only. If you want to hear that, other interviews that we've got on there, make sure you go over to AM 950 Radio and sign up and become a member. Patrick, when did you graduate high school?
2009.
What school?
International School of Minnesota, right up this road from here, five minutes.
Oh, the guys that do the flags.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a test sometimes. Where do they get a – that is – that's a – that's got, that school's got a budget for flags.
Oh, believe me, I don't know where they keep the ones that fly outside, but if you walk through the hallways, they've got flags hanging from the ceiling.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
If you don't know where this is, it's just to the east of 494 on Crosstown. There's an intersection there. It's the last intersection before it becomes highway running all the way over towards across the Mendota Bridge. But if you look over the right, there's the International School over there, and they've got they change up the three flags outside that school. And so they're not just going for your standard easy ones. Oh yeah, I see China. I see England. Ooh, is that an Iceland? You're like, what's the one with the goat on it? I don't know. Is that Isle of Man? I mean, that is an international school. Did you have what was your graduation? How big was your class?
Only 22, I believe.
Only 22. All right. So the creme de la creme. My son is one of many people in the metro area. Many, and I say people because he's 18. He's an adult now. And he is he's graduating this year. And, you've heard him. That is my son when we've done those Rudy Luther ads. That is Charlie. And he's a great kid, and I'm very proud of him. I'm proud of all my children, absolutely. Charlie is going to head on off to the University of Minnesota. He is looking forward to that. And here we are in the age of coronavirus, where you can't expect people to go into a crowded gymnasium or a crowded field house or on a crowded football field and do a two-hour-long graduation ceremony with all these people there. Because you know as well as I do, there are going to be people who are going to show up who do not feel well, but they'll be damned if they're going to miss their little Billy or their little Susie's graduation. And they are going to, and in considering the crowds that these things generally include, a lot of grandparents and parents, people who are in that age demographic, it's wildly reckless to do a graduation. Now, I will say there are some places that have you come up with an idea. And we're actually working on something here. We might have a graduation on this radio station. All details on that are coming. I'm going to keep that quiet here. But there's, you know, in Michigan, the local radio station stepped up. Now, granted, this is a similar to Patrick's class, a relatively small contingent. So their school parking lot would be basically able to handle the the crowds that they were going to be looking at. I mean, so they, you know, there's 20 kids. You know, they can, their parking lot, you know, has 100 parking spots. It should be easy enough. But when you're looking at the metro schools, that's not really an option. And if you've ever lined up a parade, and I've lined up a few in my days, if you ever lined up a parade, the longer the parade goes, the more complicated it gets. And when you're looking at 500 kids, 600 kids, 700 kids, 800 kids in a graduation car line, you know, that's, you're telling some kids, oh, we're going to have you go park your car for 3 hours down the street, down this secondary road, and we'll just tell you when you can move. And that's it. It's hard. I mean, what do you do? There's not going to be an overnight party. You know, they might be able to pull something off later in the summer. But, you know, once again, what happens in summer? People start going on vacations. I know some people who, some kids especially, if sports come back, they're going to be out in traveling teams. And August is really iffy because some schools, they want you into class in August, you know, 10th, 11th, especially if you're an incoming freshman. My wife and I had a discussion, and it is an interesting discussion to have in regards to graduation, was how much of this is really upsetting for them versus us as the parents. Because let's face it, I mean, as a parent goes, you're looking for the payoff a little bit here. You want the cap and the gown. You want the setup where basically you watch your little Billy go across, I'm gonna cry, and here he is with a photograph with his gown and his cap and everything's going, oh, it's wonderful. Wonderful. The moment where they can throw their cap in the air, the senior party. That's a lot of fun. I remember that as a kid. I don't know how much, you know, my son was in band, and the band, the juniors and sophomores at Hopkins, play for the graduation ceremony. And so they had seen the ceremony. So for him, he had actually seen this a little bit. And yeah, it was a little, it's the closer we get to this, the more bummed he and his friends are. And I don't know what we can do to get around this, because the reality is they want a graduation ceremony. You know, and, you know, us sending well wishes and stuff like that, that's the, you know, that's nice. You know, you see these pictures of, you know, I was watching, the John Krasinski's little news thing and the Jeep parade. Well, that's nice. It's easy when you just got a bunch of Jeeps in a row. It's a little more complicated elsewhere. And it's not like you're going to run that through every street in a school district, and especially in the metro area. That's going to take you a week or so to get to all the houses. Especially when you get to, like, the cul-de-sacs. How do you pull that one off? I want to know how you're going to, you know, going to go in there and wave and off you go. I don't know. All I can say is this, is that this is their generation. And, yes, part of this is us remembering, oh, gosh, it's such a tradition. It's a shame. But they will be part of that class that in 80-plus years, when they're turning 100 years old, God willing, they'll be, here's a 100-year-old, and by the way, he was one of the class of 2020. They didn't have a graduation because of the coronavirus that year. Hopefully with the footnote, you know, a year before it was wiped off the planet. That would be great. That would be phenomenal if we could pull that one off. I think that it is interesting, you know, it is an interesting question whether or not does the graduation mean more to the parents and the family than it does to the kid? I will say this, and just one little piece of advice, because this is something that you're seeing be debated. The idea of skipping, you know, the kids that are graduating this year, because likely a lot of schools, some schools will be back. University of Minnesota is, what, 50,000 people? A lot of the other big schools, Missouri, Michigan State, Michigan, you know, Nebraska, Iowa, these are all big schools. If you're going to go to one of those schools, are you really, especially in Iowa, where right down the street they have these hog processing plants where they've had coronavirus outbreaks like we've never seen? They're putting New York City to shame, for goodness sakes. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I've actually talked to 3 friends of mine who are college professors. And the mentality is just start your school year next year. Don't take a year off. You know, if the schools can't start like normal in September, you're probably not going to be doing too much world traveling or something like that. So that was the suggestion he made. And one of the things that he also suggested is, remember this, is that if they can't get the kids into the dorms, if they can't do this. Now, I want to say this. I don't want to speak out of term. I know the University of Minnesota and some of the larger other universities are trying to figure out some way to get that. And they're planning on that. They're planning on students coming into these dorms right now. That it's going to be a normal school year. But say they can't. Well, you're going to have a pretty cheap first year, you know. That's a good thing. And it might not feel like it's a good thing, but trust me, when you get done with this and you're looking at how much money you have to pay back for college loans and stuff like that, it probably is going to be, oh, thank God I saved, you know what, depending on the school, $8,000, $10,000, $20,000. Needless to say, we are all an amassing of our experiences in life. I remember bell bottoms and the bump from the 1970s and watching Arthur Fonzarelli. Never realized how short the guy was. They really kind of hid that pretty well. The Fonz, I remember that. But here I am at 51 having to deal with, you know, kids and having to explain to them that this is just it. To all the grads out there, congratulations. Good job. You know, you'll have a story. You'll always have a story. And you'll always have something in common with everyone else in your class. Something that, you know, hopefully, and I do mean this sincerely, hopefully you're the only class that has this problem. I really do. I hope the class of 2021 and 2022 and 2023, they don't have these problems. But you'll always have that with you guys. And in the long run, at least you'll have, you know, that as a connector. And an identifier. And that sometimes is what it takes to identify a generation. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do return, we will do the Minnesota update for today. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake would like to say Pini Gigi for all your support these last 3 years. We discuss national and local Native news and events. Weekly correspondents bring us updates and information from all over Turtle Island.
Native Roots Radio I'm Awake is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays live 1 to 3. Free Leonard Peltier.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature actor Chris Mulkey. Chris has appeared in over 100 film and TV shows, including Captain Phillips, Twin Peaks, Rambo First Blood, and more. You'll see his face if you cruise the late night airwaves. He's also recently recovered from COVID-19. We did a phone interview with him. You will find it most enjoyable and informative. 6 p.m. Saturday on AM 950.
Hackers, ransomware, security breaches. As I speak, cyber criminals are stepping up their attacks on businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark. Rimark has the expertise and experience necessary to navigate your company to safe water. We launch our process with a network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. And it's free. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment today.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Alicia is actually listening. She actually gets a good point and a completely unrelated story. On the story of, the right-wing media yesterday, we talked about how they've been able to make Biden, yet, the poster child for sexual misconduct around women, Donald Trump, doesn't get mentioned. I'll lay this out. This is a tactic designed to peel off women from voting at all. They were never going to vote Trump, but now they have an excuse not to vote for Biden. That's why Trump hasn't said a word. He's supposed to be invisible for his tactic to be effective. That's the interesting element. I never thought about that. He is really going to get – Trump is going to lose women by a fairly substantial amount. I mean, the suburban women have turned on him in droves. So maybe this is exactly what it is. Is a – will we start seeing ads saying, I've decided I'm not going to vote for either one of them? We've seen that before, just kind of – your protest is not voting at all. No, that's dumb. You need to vote. It's just, you want if you say to yourself, if you feel as what Biden, the story against Biden, which has got more holes than a colander in it, if you think that that's the reason why you don't want to vote for him, that's fine, but you do realize that you're basically saying, I don't mind Donald Trump putting another two Supreme Court justices on the court. And trust me, that's not going to go well for women's rights, minority rights, anyone's rights outside of wealthy white guys. All right. And that's for 30 years to come. Let's run the phones here. Dave is in Minneapolis. I got Dave's all over the place. Dave in Minneapolis, welcome on in.
I think you mean it's Steve.
Hi, Steve in Minneapolis.
Hey, brother. You know what? The kids are going to be all right.
I think they will. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, because, I was a serious nonconformist when I was young. And I never went to a prom. I only went to graduation because my mom made me. And most people think I'm okay.
And I think, once again, we are a product of our own experiences. And thanks, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. We're a product of our own experiences, and that's what it is. And it's as hard as it is, and especially for parents, I think it's hard because you feel bad for the kids. Try to make sure they understand that it's, this is everyone. Everyone's going through this, and not just here. It's the worldwide. They're going through this. Dave is in St. Louis Park. Dave, is this Dave?
Yep.
Hey, Dave.
Got it.
Right.
I was just going to tell you, when I graduated from high school, it was a suburban school in western southwest Chicago, and I had a graduating class of 1,154 kids.
Jeez.
Okay. Now, just imagine this mob with a mom and a dad and uncle, maybe a grandma and a grandpa and a couple of brothers and sisters all packed into one big field house, right?
Yeah.
Right, just as they were getting ready to get going and we were going to march in, there was this huge thunderstorm blowing outside, and lightning hit the building and knocked all the power out.
Wow.
So we were in pitch darkness with all the teachers yelling, stay right where you are, nobody move. And we had to wait for the fire department to come and set up generators and lights before we could do anything. Okay. So we stood around for the best part of 40 minutes in pitch darkness. 1,000 kids plus.
Imagine now three people in there had coronavirus. it's seriously, think about that. That situation would happen. If you tried to do this and you just said, push through, it's like, oh, let's do it. You're all being wussies. And you did it. Imagine now you have that case and three people have coronavirus and the air conditioning is off. And, yeah, that would not be good.
Hot and stuffy. It was terrible. A lot of the family people had to just bail. They had to go outside. And it was still raining, pouring rain outside, and people had to go out just to get out of there because it was really – it was pretty obnoxious. But – we all had an interesting story to tell. Our graduation was not like anybody else's.
No, indeed. So. Indeed not. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. At the old Metrodome, I was there when the power went out over HCMC. And so by law, they had to divert the power out of the Metrodome over to HCMC. So during a Twins game, they turned off the power. That place got warm. I never realized how hot it would get inside the Metrodome. Oy. Here we go. Let's get the Minnesota update for today. Minnesota's lab-confirmed COVID-19 case count reached 7,851 as of Tuesday morning, fueled in part by outbreaks in the Worthington and St. Cloud areas that are both associated to some extent with food processing plants. Now, I would be remiss if I did not remind people, when this started off, there are a lot of ignorant fools who are out there saying, that's an inner city problem. Why do we have to do anything? And no, I'm not going to say this back to you. You being an ignorant ass doesn't qualify me to be one either. And plus the fact that I don't want you dead. All right. So as opposed to sitting out there in Worthington or St. Cloud and saying, that's a Minneapolis, St. Paul problem. Well, no, it's not. It's everywhere now. And I don't want to see you dead. So maybe next time, keep your sarcasm and jackassian comments to yourself. Thank you. The Minnesota Department of Health on Tuesday reported another 617 lab-confirmed cases in COVID-19, a single-day high in the state for the pandemic, which is caused by the coronavirus. The state also reported another 27 deaths, bringing that total to 455. Only Hennepin County has a higher case count in Minnesota with 2,519. The count in Worthington and surrounding Nobles County has reached 1,069. This is in Nobles County. Wow. Due in large part to the plant-wide testing of workers following the discovery and the outbreak of the JBS pork plant that was temporarily shut down. Cases in Stearns County have reached 815 due to in part to a testing of the discovery of cases among workers at Pilgrim's Pride plant in Cold Spring and Jennie-O Turkey plant in Melrose. The growth in cases in Stearns is challenging the ability of the state and county public health officials to keep up the track the spread of the outbreak. State Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm said this regional outbreak does seem to involve a higher level of community spread in St. Cloud and surrounding communities that occurred with the JPS outbreak in Worthington. Even if it initiated outside the plant becomes such a magnifying force it is amplified by the spread of the disease. Only five counties in Minnesota have yet to have a confirmed case. As of Tuesday morning, the state reported 434 Minnesotans needing hospital care for their COVID-19 infections, including 182 who needed intensive care. That's, again, that ICU count, that's up another 16 from yesterday. We got to keep an eye on that one. Both were highest numbers reported so far in the pandemic. While the coronavirus is highly infectious, roughly 80% of the cases involve mild or no symptoms. Minnesota's COVID-19 deaths include 368 people who've been living in long-term care facilities, have reported numerous outbreaks across the state. More than 9 in 10 COVID-19 deaths in the state were involved residents of these facilities. Also, by the way, in case you missed this story, and this is a big one too, the financial cost of the coronavirus outbreak in Minnesota is front and center Tuesday as the state budget officials update the impact of the pandemic that's already recently impacting the state revenue projections. Minnesota Management and Budget said Friday, February forecast economic conditions have dramatically weakened and government costs related to COVID-19 have increased. Late Tuesday morning, officials announced the deficit of $2.426 billion is now projected for the current biennium, representing nearly a $4 billion change since the surplus projected in February. Revenue is expected to be $3.611 billion lower during that period, with spending close to be up to with spending expected to be up $391 million. There remains a $2.359 billion budget reserve. Governor Tim Walz, meanwhile, was expected to ease the financial burden on health care providers by allowing them to reserve elective surgeries and procedures. I do believe we did get a press release on that, that indeed that the elective procedures can now continue again. A temporary ban on I'll double check that when I come back from the bottom of the hour break here. A temporary ban on those procedures have cut the bottom line of health care groups. Walz extended the statewide stay-at-home order until May 18th to reduce the spread of coronavirus, but he's been looking at exempt more businesses amid the growing pandemic. We'll tell you what, let's take a break. I'll get the press releases I got from the governor's office. We'll read those as well. And just stupidity running wild, plus a Minneapolis classic for the dance fest at the end of the show. We'll take a break. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you scared to be in your home? Are you experiencing abuse in your relationship? There is help. Domestic and sexual violence programs remain open, and an advocate is standing by to support you and provide you with options. If you are experiencing abuse or violence, call Minnesota's statewide crisis hotline, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 1-800-273-8255. 1-866-223-1111. 1-866-223-1111. Or text 612-399-9995. Text 612-399-9995. Be safe.
Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here to say thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950 during this crisis. I also wanted to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart who's become a member of AM 950 over the last few weeks. It's so important to keep AM 950 on the air, maintaining a progressive radio voice in Minnesota for 2020. We feature the best in progressive talk and great local hosts like Brett Johnson, Robert Pilot, and myself. We started our membership program to make sure AM 950 got through this trying time, and you, the listener, have responded. Thank you so very much. You can become a member by simply heading over to am950radio.com and donating. The membership response has been so great, we're planning on launching some brand new members-only content, starting with some great new interviews. Tom Hartman will have a regular monthly members-only interview, and we'll have new member content updated weekly. Head over to am950radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM950. For everyone who is a member, thank you so very much for your support, and thanks for listening to the progressive voice of Minnesota, AM 950.
Someone just tweeted, is Trump actually trying to wind down the coronavirus task force already? I don't know if you're aware of this, but we still have basically a 9/11 worth of death every day, and or of cases every day, and the death count is pretty obnoxious as well. So, yeah, no, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea at all. Todd Colet sponsoring AM 950 Radio. Thank you very much, Todd. You can sponsor the station. There's membership. There's also sponsorship. And Todd sponsors the station. You can as well, 952-946-8885 to find out how you can do that. Of course, with Todd, he wanted us to promote. There's an article I posted up on the Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show Facebook page and the Matt McNeil Show Twitter feed, where it's an article about from the Pioneer Press on how you can help out. So by all means, if you can, you're looking for a way to help out during this crisis, please do, because this is nowhere near over. It is nowhere near over, unfortunately. 952-946-6205. So let me read the press releases from the governor's office. Governor Walz signed today Executive Order 2051, providing a roadmap for safety restarting elective surgery. So that is a done deal there in regards to that. The other one is about the budget forecast. This is some of the quotes from Governor Walz. Today's budget outlook confirms what we suspected. COVID-19 will badly damage Minnesota's economy. As I said during my State of the State address, there's a long winter ahead. COVID-19 is upending life as we know it, and our economy will not be spared. This will mean shared sacrifice among all of us. Hard decisions will be made. These last few weeks have been difficult, and it's only going to get harder. And he's right. There's no way, there is no value in us candy coating it for people out there. There isn't. I get it. You want to, you're not going to be that bad. I'd rather consider it's going to be the worst and then it doesn't happen, as opposed to idiots who keep saying, well, I'm just going to go on out there and I'm going to hobnob and rub shoulders with anyone I want to and cough all over people. You want to be stupid? Go be stupid someplace else. Go by yourself and be stupid. Don't do it around us. Speaking of stupid, Eric Lucero, is that the representative's name, the Republican? Lucero?
The guy from Otsego?
He's out that way, at Dayton, I believe it is. Yeah. Eric Lucero. I don't know. How do you, it's hard to determine how you pronounce it. B-I-G-O-T, Lucero. It says something like that. I don't quite understand it. You'll see where I'm going with this. Representative Frank Hornstein, DFLer from Minneapolis, introduced new legislation to change the way our state reports hate crimes. The way things stand, Hornstead told members of the House committee, a lot of bias-driven crimes were slipping through the cracks. That's especially concerning right now when the state's Department of Human Rights and Asian American community organizations are getting a huge uptick in incidents and prejudice against Asian people. Stop that, by the way. Just stop it. For God's sakes, just stop being an ass. Will you please just stop it? Grow up. Ugh. The new language would expand the definition of crimes motivated by bias and appropriate funds for education efforts like training for new law enforcement and collecting data of these incidents. Attorney General Keith Ellison joined the virtual meeting to testify in support of the bill. There might be some responsible, reasonable concerns about Hornstein's proposal. For example, the price tag has yet to be determined. And with coronavirus response eating up public resources, Minnesota doesn't exactly have a lot of money lying around now. Then there are concerns by Eric Lucero, Republican from Dayton, brought to the table. He couldn't help but notice the bill contained language related to gender identity. He starts off, "This reminds me of a video I actually saw probably about a year ago on YouTube," he said. "There was a gas station, the customer, a man who was in the gas station, and the clerk addressed the customer as a man, but the man thought he was a woman. The man," said Lucero, "called the customer, proceeded to have a tirade and a fit. He asked Ellison, how would he criminally enforce a man who determined to be referred to as a woman? Would that," he asked, "be a crime?" Now, you know what is a crime, Eric Lucero? That you, sir, are a politician. That you're a representative. And by the way, I'm Catholic. You want to go? Let's go. You suck at being Christian, too. All that stuff Jesus said about love and peace, don't give me Paul's letters to the Romans. Don't give me Leviticus. Don't give me any of those secondary verses. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you're supposed to love and care for everyone else. And you, because you've got your own personal feelings, which, by the way, you might want to go talk to a counselor about, you basically are trying to take your hate and make it something that everyone has to follow through on. You're just an ass. Doesn't make me a great Catholic either, but I'm not going to sit back and watch you pretend to be something that you're not. You're not a decent human being. You're a piece of trash. Anywho, back to the story. Ellison paused before answering. There had been a little distortion on Lucero's end, he said, and he wanted to make sure he was clear about what the representative was asking. Was he asking about a transgender person getting referred to by the wrong pronouns, he asked. Lucero, not one to accept moderately more sensitive language, even when offered to him on a silver platter, replied in the affirmative, "Yes, there was clearly a man who was confused and believed he was a woman and determined to be addressed as a woman," he said. "Would that be an example of gender bias?" Wow. Wow. They're trying to say, that is someone saying to you, "Boy, you are an ass, man. Dude, seriously, shut up. Rethink what you're about to say and try it again." And Lucero brings out a 20. Double down. Wow. This is all you'll get from Lucero on issues of gender inequality and sexuality. Last year, he stood against sex education programs that taught about a diverse array of gender identities and sexual orientations because, and we quote, "that's not biology." This year, he helped author a bill that would have banned drag queens from reading to kids at libraries. Dude, first of all, you see, and that just tells me everything. Have you seen those library readings? My God, they're brilliant. Drag queens reading to kids at libraries is a wonderful idea. And you know what it does is, maybe if someone had done that, maybe when someone gets older, they wouldn't be a bigoted jackass. Maybe, just maybe, that would be the outcome, is that you wouldn't be a bigoted jerk if you were exposed to other people. just a suggestion. Just a suggestion. I know. Oh. Lucero's informative YouTube video aside, if you're a trans or non-binary person, you probably know the odds of being willing to connect a simple stranger about your pronouns, let alone accost them, just to get a scratch off and some Reese's Pieces and move on with your life is pretty damn slim. But since Lucero asked, no, of course not. I can tell you this. It's clear it doesn't violate the criminal codes, Ellison said. It sounded to him like he was just an example of neighbors having to work things out among themselves. Not every offensive thing he said is a crime. You can stand up on a podium and say, "I don't like blacks," he said. You cannot say, "Go hurt that black person walking across the street." There is a difference. The fact is, people in the LGBTQ community and trans and non-binary folk in particular are frequently targeted for violent crimes. Outfront Minnesota, a queer and trans advocacy organization, released a statement about the bill referencing its importance. Last year, Outfront worked with nearly 1,000 queer and transgender survivors of violence, and nearly 270 were survivors of hate crimes specifically. But it doesn't sound like the Lucero thinks that's a problem. Seriously, how do you get to be like that? I mean, I never realized how well. I mean, I want to say my dad and my mom did a great job of raising me, and you know, being tolerant and understanding that you should not speak out of place for other people, especially large groups like African Americans or the Jews or Native Americans or the transgender. But yet, isn't it funny? The same group of people who always talk about individual rights, they always scream. Isn't the Republican Party all about individual rights? Then someone says, you know what? I think my gender identify as opposite of the gender I was born with. That's where I'm going to live. They act like no individual rights ever. Lucero is just the latest example. I mean, guys like him back in the 60s were screaming about whites and blacks getting married. And he's like, you can't have that. He was one of the guys, he represents the people that were back in the 1930s who were basically screaming that Hitler was right and that the Jews should be condemned. He was the people that worked against the African Americans for the last 150 years since the Civil War, to make sure that even though they were free, that they didn't have any rights. That might not be him. It's just that here he is doing the latest version of it. He wasn't back in the Civil War. He wasn't back in 1930s. He wasn't back in the 1960s. But he's here now. And here he is just going out of his way to be a jerk. Like I said, dude, you need to go talk to a counselor about that. And don't claim to be Christian. Seriously, do not. Love, peace, understanding, welcoming, that's Jesus. This idea of hating people, that's something that's man on earth taking a good thing like the Bible and turning it into a weapon of hate. And trust me, when you get to those pearly gates, some people aren't going to be too happy with you. Especially when they get to the whole point about welcoming in strangers from strange lands. I'll let you share it with them when you get there. 952-946-6205. But he's not the only one that's doing stupid things. How about Lakefield City Council? The Lakefield City Council has taken a stand against Governor Tim Walz's stay-at-home order and temporary closure of bars, restaurants, and other places of public accommodation in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, and has pledged to not direct any city resources to enforcing them. The Council on Monday passed a resolution affirming the city as a constitutional and business-friendly community on a 3-2 vote following a lengthy and sometimes heated discussion. Now, I want to point out, if you're wondering where Lakefield is, the Lakefield is the county here is right next to Noble County. It is Jackson County, isn't it? I think it's Jackson County. It is right next to Noble County, the second highest county outbreak in the state. And they're having actually a lot of cases in their county. But ignorance is not something that's quelled by, knowledge. After tabling a resolution opposing Governor Tim Walz's executive orders 3-2 at their April 20th meeting, the Lakefield City Council passed the same resolution 3-2 last night. The resolution declares Lakefield a constitutional and business-friendly community and a petri dish. Do you want grandma and grandpa to die? Well, head to Lakefield. It's not delightful. It seeks relief from the governor's orders. Mayor Brian Rossow and Councilman Bruce Backlar and Brent Pavelko all voted in favor of the resolutions. Council members Andrea Monson and Nathan Hall voted against. The discussion surrounding the resolution was lengthy and heated at times. The council took short recess to review the amended resolution that would have been drafted. As the recess, the council approved the original resolution. The resolution only states that the city of Lakefield will not direct any city resources to enforce the executive order or any other directive that infringes on the right of law-abiding citizens to keep their businesses open. So basically, if you want to, you know, kill off your neighbors by, you know, keeping your Taco John's open, knock yourself out. Hey, we're gonna keep the hardware store open. Just try not to cough while you're inside. The constitutional and business-friendly community resolution was first taken up by the council on Monday, April 20th. The Lakefield City Council story reported on April 20th. The Lakefield Council tabled the measure Monday evening that would ultimately give locals the opportunity to reopen their shuttered businesses. Mayor Brian Rosso told KICD News that he feels the current orders coming from St. Paul are violations of the United States Constitution and are taking away the rights of citizens. If this resolution does pass, Rosso says he will simply give businesses an opportunity to reopen their doors, not require it. Well, that's nice that you're not requiring people to go on out there. Rosso, this is kind of the mentality of these people. So I'm working in the yard today and thinking. This is a Facebook post from Rosso. This all, by the way, is on Blue Stem Prairie. It's brilliant. I'm working in the yard today and thinking. The VFW and American Legion are made up of veterans that faced armies and a chance of death every day to fight for our freedom. And we're letting Governor Walz tell them it's too dangerous to make pancakes on a Sunday morning. Yay. By the way, when you kill off most of your local VFW and American Legion, because most of those groups are generally not young, make sure you ask for extra syrup. How about I say that there, Mayor? Over the course of centuries, Christians have faced persecution and death for sharing the gospel and practicing religion. Don't bring Christianity. First of all, okay, let me go back to the war thing. You do understand that the wars you're talking about probably are either World War II, which was not fought here, or the Korean War, which was not fought here, or the Vietnam War, which was not fought here. So it's not like bullets were flying over Lakefield and the bombing was happening there. So don't try to use the brave sacrifice of veterans to up the importance of your argument, jackass. As a disabled veteran myself, shut up. But then you want to go to Christianity? Yeah, because nothing, Jesus loved nothing more than, you know, people who are sick purposely getting other people sick. I mean, that was just, is that somewhere in there? It's not. Okay. Is that he tried to heal people. He tried to make people healthier. That's kind of the complete opposite of what the mayor of Lakefield's trying to do. So he's not doing anything Christian at all. Oh, my God. These people. And by the way, yeah, Jackson County, they are one of the confirmed COVID-19 cases per 100,000 residents. Nobles, Martin, Stearns, Kandi, Ojai, Cottonwood, Clay, Jackson County. There are, what, seven? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number seven. But, hey, let's make sure the Ready Whip ice cream stand is ready to go so everyone can get their orange whip with a little extra coronavirus on top. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll play some music. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Formerly the Audubon Center of the Northwoods, Osprey Wilds is a nonprofit environmental learning center on Grindstone Lake in Sandstone, Minnesota. Osprey Wilds has community events like Dinner at the Lake, Maple Syrup Day, and learning opportunities for all ages. Audit an environmental education college class, snowshoe or ski our trails, or learn about our wildlife programming. We're open to the public year-round. Visit online at OspreyWilds.org. That's OspreyWilds.org.
Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect gift option for mom this Mother's Day. Their expert staff can help make book recommendations no matter her taste. Plus, they even sell cards and puzzles. Just call the store at 651-225-8989. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. So you don't even have to leave your home to shop. Open daily by phone from 10 to 3. Call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Zero Res understands that to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the CDC recommends cleaning carpets and hard surfaces where we live and work. And that's what they do best. Their zero contact protocol means their technicians will wear gloves and shoe covers, disinfect all equipment between jobs, and exercise social distancing while cleaning and sanitizing your home. Right now, Zero Res is offering 20% off all surfaces to AM 950 listeners. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and make sure you mention AM 950 to get 20% off.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Do you know, I have become more and more convinced that the sad reality of Trump fans is this, is that until they have someone they know directly, grandparent, parent, friend of the family, die, they won't take it seriously. And honestly, I honestly believe it will take multiple deaths for some of these people to wake up and realize how serious this is.
I don't even think that'll do it because they're so contorted into this shape. They're like, oh, you know, people are going to have to die for liberty. It's just how it is.
They would think to themselves, I mean, this is the broken nature of the modern Trump supporter. They honestly think that by basically acknowledging their grandparent died of coronavirus, that they probably could have prevented the happening, would be the libs winning. So they, since they have to own the libs at all time, that grandma, she was always like, she liked Barack Obama. So, you know, yeah, she got what she deserved. I mean, I honestly think that. It's just, ugh, these people. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to send you off today. I got a good one for you. We, of course, on a Wednesday, old Jeff Stein will be back. The Replacements and Alex Chilton will take us out today. Till tomorrow, see ya. And hit it at Patrick there.